This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest, meatiest, center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com. America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
The United States officially labeling North Korea a state sponsor of terror. Amy Kellogg is live for us in Milan with what exactly that label means. Good morning, Amy.
Yes, Heather. Well, it may be more symbolic than anything else because, as you know, North Korea is so heavily sanctioned as it is. But according to the Secretary of State, it may, in fact, actually dissuade some third parties who are still doing business with the rogue regime to stop engaging with Pyongyang. And President Trump has said that he, in fact, will start announcing some sanctions over the next 2 weeks. They will be rolled out to further squeeze Kim Jong-un and his regime, though Trump hasn't said what they will be. President Trump has said the designation of state sponsor of terror should have applied years ago to North Korea. And in fact, it was, but it was removed by President George W. Bush in 2008. The other three countries on that list are Sudan, Syria, and Iran. President Trump invoked the name of Otto Warmbier, the American college student who was sentenced to 15 years of hard labor after tearing down a propaganda poster while visiting North Korea last year. He returned home in a coma earlier this year, only to die a short time after arrival. Another dramatic example of the sheer brutality of the regime, the murder by female agents bearing nerve agents of the North Korean leader's half-brother, Kim Jong-nam, in a Malaysian airport earlier this year in broad daylight. Now, the South Korean spy agency, meanwhile, is warning that North Korea could well test a barrage of missiles before the end of the year to flex its muscles. A North Korean news outfit said over the weekend that the U.S. will be sorry for, quote, letting such a depraved and stupid guy occupy the Oval Office. Now, Heather, President Trump has been hinting for some time that he wanted to put North Korea on the list of state sponsors of terrorism, but he clearly waited for the end of his very important five-nation tour of Asia, during which time, as you know, he spent a great effort to try to bring the parties together, the other Asian countries, to come up with sort of a unified message and ways to put pressure on the North Korean regime. Heather.
Yeah, and I was reading about the North Korean military member that escaped and managed to get to South Korea, and it was infested with parasites and worms. So many things going on in North Korea that we're not aware of. Thank you so much, Amy. Appreciate it.
And did say yesterday that, you know, some of the sanctions are working, though the pressure continues on China. We keep looking to China to see what they can do in terms of applied pressure in North Korea. But the Secretary of State said that there is some obvious fuel supplies shortages that are being indicated there. And quite possibly some of the things that we're doing now are starting to work. But like anything that has to do with supplies, it takes a little bit of time. So though the pressure is on and the screws are being tightened more towards North Korea to behave and to lower their guns and their nuclear activity, which is a danger to all of mankind here. And I believe that, you know, China saw this seriously. And I believe this was without a doubt a big part of the conversation outside of, you know, the UCLA issue. Some would try to make this into something. I mean, here we've got more important things to deal with China and North Korea, and we want to spend time talking about, you know, three young men, and hopefully they've learned their lesson, and others going to visiting countries to understand, look, at when you're outside of the country, you know, our hosts, just like when you come to our home, we wouldn't expect you to steal some glasses because they were right there. I mean, you know, that's, you know, not very cool. You know, you're going to grandma's house this Thanksgiving. Don't be thinking about things you could take, you know. So lesson learned here, hopefully. And, you know, this is something that, I mean, you know, and these aren't, you know, people who are poor. I mean, you know, these are kids going to UCLA So you got to have money to go to UCLA and to be stealing sunglasses. No bueno, as they say. 5 minutes after the top of the hour, the conversation continues. We're going to talk about Steve Bannon next with Keith Koffler.
ID Stronghold wallets are different. They may look the same on the outside. They're stylish. They'll hold your cards and cash. But they're hiding something great on the inside. No, there are no pyrotechnics. And it doesn't sing when you open it. But it does have magical powers. ID Stronghold wallets protect your critical information and identity from thieves standing right next to you. Protect your family this holiday season with affordable leather ID Stronghold wallets and purses. Anyone can buy a cheap RFID scanner online and snag your information just by walking past you. Contactless credit cards, debit cards, even your work ID badge. ID Stronghold was the first to pioneer RFID blocking technology over 12 years ago. Secure your identity and save 10% by using coupon code PRESENT for a limited time at idstronghold.com. That's coupon code PRESENT, also available at walmart.com, eBay, Amazon, or QVC. idstronghold.com.
It's about time. Someone had the courage to say it. Bill Martinez, live.
6 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez live here with you. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. As we've been telling you, Keith Koffler is going to be joining us. We're going to talk about his brand new book, Bannon, Always the Rebel. Keith, an award-winning reporter who's covered four presidents, the founder, editor of White House Dossier, which covers the executive branch. He is the former senior editor of the Washington Examiner and author of this book, Bannon, Always the Rebel. Keith, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Great. Thank you very much for having me.
Well, David Horowitz, author of The Big Agenda, says by now everyone in America knows Steve Bannon, the force of nature who has shaped the Trump presidency more than anyone except Trump himself. So if you want to know what's behind that force of nature, if you want to know Steve Bannon, the man, this is the indispensable book for you. What an endorsement, huh?
Oh, yeah, that was great to get that from David. Very generous of him.
Well, as we know, Bannon did help engineer one of the greatest upsets in political history, the election of Donald J. Trump as president of the United States. For you, right there in the belly of the beast on the Beltway, you felt that, people needed to have some understanding of Bannon because a lot about him has been kept in the realm of the mystery, mainly because of the mainstream media.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that, David's quote that you mentioned is really what I tried to do with the book. I was offered to take a look at Bannon. I was offered the biography. And before I did that, I did some research to sort of see for myself what he was about. And I realized that, a lot of what gets said about him is caricature, basically, that he is portrayed as the sort of, Saturday Night Live as the devil mm-hmm. behind Donald Trump and as a racist and so forth. And so, I wanted to understand him better and understand his thinking. And that was what the book was devoted to. It's less of a who, stab who behind the back type of book and more about like, what does Bannon stand for? What is he trying to do for Americans? What is his ideology? And, what does he think? What are going to be the consequences for average people of the things that he is trying to do and why they should like him or potentially dislike him. So I wanted to get beneath, the caricatures that's out there. And I just found a very fascinating person as I got to know him.
Yeah, he has quite the background, as you realized as you studied him a little bit deeper and got outside of the punditry and and I think the scare tactics and as you say the caricature of how Steve Bannon has been presented. What did you discover that surprised you about Steve Bannon?
Well, I guess there were several things. I mean, the first thing is just how knowledgeable he is. He, since a young age, there's a story in the book about, his siblings told me that he would, once every week or every couple of weeks, a box would arrive in the house, and it would be a box of books for Steve, and he would just race upstairs and just start reading through them. He was a bookworm from a very early age, although he was also kind of a tough fighter also at an early age. It's kind of a contradiction in a way. But You know, what I found is that, you know, when you talk to him, he is able to cite all kinds of works of history. A friend of mine told me, a friend of his told me that he could tell you about any major battle that the United States had had, really since the Revolutionary War. His knowledge of even Roman history, Greek history, even American sociologists who have been writing recently, you know, the things that he is doing is based on, are based on a knowledge of the country and of, the thinking behind the country's culture, that I hadn't, understood. So that was one of the major things that, surprised me. This isn't just sort of a guy who's looking for power or looking to inflict a political ideology on someone. It's a person who has been reading and thinking for a very long time and understands what he wants to do.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that out, Keith, because I've been impressed whenever you hear him talk. He speaks with such depth that it's not just a cursory knowledge. I mean, some people can enter politics and have a cursory knowledge of certain topics and that sort of thing, and they go, okay, but he goes deep, and you come away, at least I have come away in hearing him thinking, wow, he knows what he's talking about, and the way he connects the dots with history and how he's bringing it into the modern era is impressive.
It is. You know, it was funny when they were, when everybody was objecting to him being on the National Security Council, you know, and I, you know, that was before I had interviewed him and I saw that, and then they kind of threw him off of there, but he was, he told me that casually he would attend the meetings anyway. But when you look at, you know, when you talk to him and you realize his knowledge of the sort of, the way the world works and the geostrategic position of various countries, whether it's China, Russia, and so forth, and how he can relate that to what they're doing now and what has happened in history, you realize that his knowledge has to so far exceed that of some of the, you know, maybe not McMaster, but some of the younger people that you hear about on the National Security Council. He just does understand how countries interact with each other and what the history is, and was completely qualified. And my, you know, and also he was in the Navy for 6 years. I mean, just was completely qualified to have been a national security advisor.
Well, you sense with him that there's passion, certainly, but it's backed with intelligence. It's not an empty passion, is it?
No, it's not. And, you know, that's the funny thing about him. And it's kind of a rare combination. You know, there are a lot of passionate people out there, and then there are sort of the Ivy League types, Ivy Tower types, rather, who have a lot of knowledge but never do anything about it. He is a formidable sort of figure in that he both possesses a knowledge and an ideology and an ability to argue on behalf of his positions, and he has the energy and drive and even sometimes the ruthlessness to try to move his positions into, you know, to convince people in power to adopt his positions and convince average Americans to agree with him. So it's kind of a, it's kind of an interesting and very formidable combination, I think.
Well, what I have found is you get the intellectuals, the academics that were, you know, I guess they were pretty prevalent in the previous administration. Academia reigned quite abundantly in the previous administration. With Bannon, he's intellectual, but he doesn't necessarily stay connected to the theoretical. I don't hear a lot of theoretical and possibility with him. I mean, when he says something, it's based on empirical evidence, it would appear. Yeah. Maybe I'm giving him too much credit, but this has just been my impression.
Right, and I think, you know, one place, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, because he's already thought it through, so he knows what he wants. Unlike a lot of people who maybe they have some education, maybe they have done some studying, and they have an idea of what they want, but then they vacillate because they haven't come to conclusions. And what he has done is come to conclusions and acted. And, you know, you talk about sort of the over-intellectualization of the previous administration. I think one place we saw that was in Syria, you know, when Assad, you know, first crossed crossed Obama's red line and started using chemical weapons, and Obama thought about it and wrung his hands and said, well, maybe we'll go to Congress, and then, oh, the Russians want to help out. And, you know, Trump, when Bannon was in the White House at that point, Trump thought about it for about a day and sent the missiles over, and that was the end of Assad and chemical weapons. And
exactly.
There was no over-intellectualizing the whole thing.
Keith, we got to take a quick pause. We'll be right back. More from Keith Koffler right after this. Stay with us, America.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-774-3149 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-774-3149. Again, that's 800-774-3149.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
19 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. Good to have you along with us, sharing a part of your day and sharing some time with Keith Koffler, the award-winning reporter. And we're talking about his latest book, Bannon, Always the Rebel. As you were saying earlier before the break, Keith, that the previous administration spent a lot of time thinking about it, because I felt like they operated so much in the realm of the theoretical. And, you know, and it's... in this current administration, and certainly as represented with one Steve Bannon, you get the impression that, it's time to process information. It's also time to come to a decision. And Bannon seems to be one who, in the idea of the Myers-Briggs quotient of a judger and a processor, he processes quickly, but when it's time to judge, he's got a decision that he's made up, and it's pretty solid and backed with evidence.
Yes, I think that's right, and that's why you saw some very quick decisions early on, on the orders related to the travel ban, which at first didn't work out, but then eventually I think was basically accepted by the Supreme Court. There was another order that was less well known, which he's also equally proud of, on immigration, which expressed that the administration was going to get serious about ending things like catch and release and so forth. And, that decreased the amount of illegal immigration into the country. So I think there is, has been a sense of decisiveness with Trump and Bannon, and when Bannon was in the White House. You know, where they've obviously fallen down, though, is in, so far at least, in their ability to get Congress to do some things. And, of course, that is a great bastion of indecisiveness, especially, it seems like, with Republicans leading it. It seems like the Democrats are much better at knocking all their troops into line than the Republicans are.
Exactly. They cannot seem to understand that they've got a president who's willing to sign legislation where previously for 8 years they had one that there was no way they were going to get anything signed. And it's just like, wait a minute, hello, did you guys not get the memo? You know who got elected in November? Speaking of which, let's go back, Keith. Does Donald J. Trump get elected president without Steve Bannon?
That's a very good question. I think that you mean in 2020 potentially?
No. I'm talking in 2016. Does he get elected? Yeah. Is he the president of the United States without Steve Bannon?
No. I really believe that he's not. And of course, Trump wouldn't want to hear that. He doesn't like to think that that it was anything other than him. And of course, the most important factor in that election was Donald J. Trump. Mm-hmm. However, what Bannon did during the election was he kept Trump completely focused on this populist message, on this message that he is fighting for the working class, that he is fighting for to limit trade, on immigration, these messages that were going to appeal to the middle class base that had to elect Trump, and that Hillary was the establishment, that Hillary was old hat, and that Trump was an agent of change. And what Bannon told me was that was the whole purpose, and he repeated that endlessly to Trump. When Trump had the, when the video came out, the Act of Hollywood video came out, and even Trump said to Bannon, this is looking kind of bad, do you think? And Bannon said, no, I don't know what he thought inside, but he told Trump, no, you stick to your message, you stick to this populist message, you will get elected. I believe it is what elected him. These are the voters, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Florida, Michigan. These are the voters that ultimately came out and elected him. If they didn't stick ruthlessly and relentlessly to this message, I don't think Trump would have gotten elected.
Well, it's the challenge that I found. And for many years, I consulted many chief executive officers across the country, and I told them the number one thing they needed to do was keep banging the drum of the mission. And, and that can get boring, sometimes. Yeah. CEOs love to create, and they're sometimes it's like herding cats, with many personalities. And, you talk about Bannon being the rebel. I mean, here he is. Maybe it took one to work with one, because Donald Trump is, he would go off, off somewhere, and it took Bannon to bring him back to say, wait a minute, here's the focus, right?
Yes, and that's the thing about Bannon is that the book's called Always the Rebel, and he is always the rebel, but he is always the rebel with a cause. He's not just, it is within his personality to be rebellious for sure. But even his sister was telling me at one point, he always had something that he was fighting for. And what he, in addition to being a rebel, he's unusual in that he is very disciplined. He got off drinking and hasn't had a drink in 20 years. And he is someone who, if he's found that cause to be rebellious about, he will stick to it and just fight for it like a tiger. And that's what he's going to be doing, I think, over the next 5, even 10 years trying to change the Republican Party. He's not going to deviate from that. Mm-hmm.
Keith, you know, after the first week of Donald Trump being in the Oval Office, he came out of the Rose Garden. I can still picture the look on his face. It was a look of shocked reality when he said to the press, he goes, "This is really messed up. It's worse." You know, the sense was, "This is worse than I even expected." It reminded me, as I mentioned, I consulted many businesses, and I went through an era with one category in particular that went through a lot of Chapter 11s and 7s, and and you'd see attorneys that would come in, and they'd look at the books, and they'd have that look of, "Oh, it's metastasized. It's cancerous. Yeah. You just got to seal the body up and call it a day," you know? And that's what you had this sense. And I'm wondering for Steve Bannon himself, what in his grip of reality, now he's in the belt, in the Oval Office with the President of the United States. How did this adjust his reality to how much trouble the United States of America is in?
Yeah, I mean, I think I remember that moment, and that was a big moment for me too. Trump came out. It might have been in the East Room, and he said it's a mess. Mm-hmm. You know what this guy basically, because obviously it seemed at that point he'd gotten a lot more briefings on the actual state of the country, whether it's national security or economics, and he said, "I was left a mess," as you're saying, and so I think that, you know. I mean, for Bannon, you know, Bannon tends to look at the upside of things, and for him, well, then there's a lot of work to do and a lot that can be corrected, and given that there's so much that needs to be changed, it gives him even more of a chance to implement the type of policies that I think he wants to establish for the country.
What happened for Steve Bannon when he decided that he could help Donald Trump more on the outside than the inside? What occurred?
Yeah, that's a good question, and I think it's not completely clear with that, because it does depend on who you talk to. I mean, I talked to Bannon about it, and, you know, and I think he was, you know, giving me a little bit more of the bright side of it than maybe was exactly right. It was really both things. You know, he was hated by a lot of people in the White House, obviously, and that's well known. And so there was pressure on him to leave. Also, the new chief of staff, General Kelly, came in, and that completely restricted Bannon's access to President Trump. So there were, you know, from the standpoint of people trying to force him out, and I think Kelly didn't want him there either. There was that. But Bannon was always planning to leave, I think, by the end of the year.
Right, that's what I understood as well.
That his time there was going to be limited, and that he would eventually probably annoy enough people or just feel frustrated enough himself that he would want to go on the outside. So it was really both. He probably left a little bit earlier than he had planned, but he was still planning to leave pretty soon. And he could see
the exit door.
He saw the exit door, but he was also kind of strolling toward it. I guess is how,
exactly.
Yeah, you might put it. And I think he feels that he can be very effective where he is, because after all, you know, Trump makes a lot of phone calls, you know, after General Kelly goes home and Ivanka goes home, and Trump is still there, and he gets on the phone and calls people like Bannon, and so he's still basically advising him.
Well, Keith, congratulations on the book and revealing, you know, and giving us some inside look into this incredible rebel, as you say, with a cause, not without a cause, but with a cause, Steve Bannon. As we wrap this up, we got about 20 seconds. What do you want people to take away?
Well, I guess I want them to take away that this is not just, I guess as we sort of began, it's just not just someone who is trying to hurt people. You know, he believes he's not anti-Hispanic. He wants more Hispanics in the Republican Party, but he believes the way to do that is to convince them of his populist message. And the same thing with African Americans. He wants more of them in the Republican Party. He's not this racist sort of caricature that people think is a well-thought-out philosophy that he believes is good for all people.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you'll love the book. You'll love finding out more about Steve Bannon. Always the rebel, Keith Koffler, on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Keith.
Thank you so much. Hey.
Hey there. Did you know that with a bachelor's degree, on average, you could make almost twice as much over a lifetime than a person with just a high school diploma? It's true. According to the 2012 U.S. Census Bureau, college grads with a bachelor's degree make almost twice as much as high school grads. Now, going back to school is easier than ever at Independence University. Log on and complete coursework from the park, or the beach, or even your couch watching the kids. And Independence University gives you the tools, a free tablet and laptop for undergrad students to use and keep when they graduate. That's right. Get a laptop so you can go to college from anywhere. Take the first step to a new career in business, information technology, healthcare, or graphic arts. Call to find the online degree program that's right for you, and you could be on your way to increasing your earning potential.
800-981-9347. 800-981-9347. That's 800-981-9347.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Kiyosaki, Rogers, and Schiff all concur there's an economic calamity that'll be facing this country. My question to you is, do you know when and are you prepared? Most people don't, but my friends over at Republic Monetary Exchange have been leading experts in precious metals to help you offset the coming economic collapse. Right now, for a limited time, they have a free book called The 10 Reasons You Should Own Gold. You simply need to give them a call at 888-772-2929 to get that in your hands. Do not allow the insiders to do what they did to you in 2008, putting your IRAs, 401ks, and savings in jeopardy. You need this book, and you need it now. The 10 Reasons You Should Own Gold. Call 888-772-2929. That's 888-772-2929. There's a reason that the largest investment banking company in the world, J.P. Morgan, just purchased another 50 million ounces of silver. This free book will explain it. 888-772-2929.
Look, up in the sky, it's a bird.
It's a plane.
Bill Martinez, live.
Oh, I love it when I put the cape on, don't you? Oh, just for fun, why not? Happy Thanksgiving to you, ladies and gentlemen. 28 minutes before the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here with you. For more information on the show, you go to BillMartinezLive.com. It is time to talk about the age of personal home robots. They've been creeping in ever so slightly over time, but it's absolutely incredible what's been going on with artificial intelligence. Been a hot topic this year as it reaches impressive new heights. Once the plot line of sci-fi movies and comic books, human-robot interaction is quickly becoming a reality, and the latest AI breakthrough may be coming to a household near you, the personal home robot. Are you ready for that? Well, Dr. Cynthia Brazile is with us. She's the associate professor at MIT, at the professor of media arts and sciences at MIT, I should clear up. Globally renowned pioneer in social robotics and human-robotic interaction, founder and scientist of, is it Jibo Inc.? Is that, am I saying that right?
It's Jibo.
Jibo.
J-I-B-O.
Mm-hmm. Must be fun at your house with all these robots and everything, you know, running around from room to room, huh?
It's a lot of fun at my house with three boys and our Jibo, yes.
Yeah, how much fun. That is terrific. Well, I appreciate you coming on to talk about artificial intelligence. We talk about it quite often on this show. As we said, it has become a hot topic. So, first of all, let me ask you, Dr. Brazile, what you were looking to achieve by creating Jibo.
Yeah, so Jibo is a very different kind of AI coming into the home than the other sort of smart devices. Jibo interacts with you much more like a helpful companion. So imagine it's more like if your family pet got really smart and could talk and could actually do some useful things for you.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have one of those. We have a border collie that's like that. He's about as close to AI as you could possibly be. But your point's well taken. Yes, if we can, and we see this happening. I mean, you know, when we were kids growing up, of course, this is going to date me a little bit. It was the Jetsons that we saw happening on television. We saw, oh, that would be so cool. But we've become more and more Jetson-like these days in our culture.
Yeah. For me, I saw Star Wars when I was a kid. You know, mm-hmm. and that was 40 years ago.
Wow.
And I fell in love with R2-D2 and 3CPO. And now, you know, we have Jibo. You know, it's the beginning of the age of a truly personal robot. It's very exciting.
Well, very cool. Well, tell us some more about the technology that this robot uses. You know, for example, natural language, understanding speech, and facial recognition.
Yeah, so first of all, social robots, again, they have this warm, welcoming social presence. So interacting with Jibo is much more like talking to a someone versus mm-hmm. talking out of something. So when I talk to him, he turns, he looks at me, he has face recognition, he can detect faces, that's how he can frame pictures when he takes photographs. He has 6 microphones, so that's how he can orient to my voice. Mm-hmm. And then through speech recognition and natural language models, he can understand what I'm asking him, whether that's something fun, like do a dance, or something mm-hmm. more pragmatic, right. like, you know, do I need an umbrella today?
Well, hopefully the husband unit doesn't get jealous over Jibo here. I mean, you know, we'd end up with Jibo in the trash can really quick because you're saying, hey, if he understands you and knows when you want to dance, some husband units, you know, we need some AI refinement here, you know.
I think my husband also really enjoys Jibo and finds them both really fun and also really helpful.
Well, and I know that there is a website people can go to and see a live demo of Jibo, right?
Yeah, so they can go to jibo.com. That's mm-hmm. J-I-B-O.com. There's lots of really useful information there. People can sign up for the newsletter. That's the first the way you can first hear what's new about Jibo.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, we're going to be offering some specials on Cyber Monday, so I definitely encourage people to check that out Sunday night and Cyber Monday as well. But there's a lot of new exciting things coming online for Jibo. He's, you know, he's the first of his kind. He's kind of like a puppy, you know, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, he's an open platform, so developers can create all kinds of skills for him starting in 2018, so he'll be able to do more and more mm-hmm. over time. So it's just, it's the very beginning of, again, the truly personal robot as part mm-hmm. of your daily life.
And you use the male pronoun for Jibo, he, mm-hmm. so that must be good because of the range of abilities that it has, not to say that a female Jibo would not, or would it be Jibo, or would it be Jiba if you did a female version, right?
Yeah, he's, you know, we talk about the character design of Jibo, so he's like a young male kind of adolescent character.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a robot. You know, he knows he's a robot. He's totally happy being a robot. He's mm-hmm. funny. It's fun to get to know him. He can dance. He can tell jokes. So really, it's about bringing kind of the fun and the playfulness with the utility. And nothing really does that on the market today. And when I mm-hmm. think about something that's fun and useful for the whole family, it's really, I think, something like Jibo.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of fun. So how does Jibo benefit the home? How have you found that to work for you?
Yeah, so he's really got something for everyone. So, you know, I have 3 boys, so for them, it's all the fun stuff. It's the jokes. It's, you know, mm-hmm. he can even do a rap. You know, he can give them useful information. He's kind of, you know, helped resolve many an argument by looking up a fun fact for the kids. He can answer math questions. He can help them spell words. So it's all that kind of useful stuff. You know, for me, you know, I just love it the way he can greet me by name in the morning and do his little happy dance. He helps give me useful information like news and weather. You know, for family photos, he's fabulous because now I don't have to be behind the camera. I can stay in the action. And then even when you think about people who are aging in place, we've had a number of people email us and say, Jibo is really unique because, you know, people of that demographic, they understand that AI can really help them and can be really mm-hmm. useful, but it can also be intimidating. So the fact that Jibo is actually, I say he's not just user-friendly, he's actually friendly.
Mm-hmm.
He's this warm, inviting experience. And they've often commented, you know, with Jibo, I could talk to him. Even though I'm living alone, I don't feel alone. So mm-hmm. that's really empowering and really different.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, the range of benefits is just full featured here with Jibo. I guess, managed by your own imagination, I guess, right?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Now, I got to imagine that Jibo is going to be a hot item for the holidays, wouldn't you expect?
Yeah, you know, I think so. So Time Magazine recently named Jibo one of their 25 best inventions of 2017. He's even on the cover. That's just incredible recognition that we're absolutely thrilled with. So, yes, we anticipate that he's going to be a popular little guy this holiday.
Now, what kind of investment? Can I ask you that question? And because I know we got you're going to do a Cyber Monday special on Jibo. But mm-hmm. roughly, what are we looking at to invest for this incredible character that we can introduce to our families across the country?
Yeah. So believe it or not, he costs less than an iPhone 10. He's more like wow. the end of a high-end tablet. So uh-huh. he's $899.
Wow, that's great.
And he's got, again, he's kind of like a puppy right now. He's really fun. He can already do a bunch of useful stuff, but he'll be able to do more and more. So it's going to yeah. be really fun to see him develop over time.
Yeah, but the best kind of puppy, one that's already been housebroken.
Exactly.
I'm just saying, we're looking at bringing a puppy into the household. It's in discussion right now. Hasn't been firmed up, but we've gone through some puppy stages previously, and the idea, you know, is like, okay, how do we get past those first 6-8 months? And my wife is going, absolutely not. Okay, so we already know her vote.
I think it'll be easier with Jibo.
Yeah, Jibo, yeah, okay. Honey, we can have a puppy or we can have Jibo. Jibo's already trained. So where can people find Jibo?
Yes, so they can go to our website at jibo.com. That's mm-hmm. J-I-B-O.com. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, of course, my wife wants to know, does it come with an accent? She's such a romantic, you know. It's like, you know, oh, does he come with it? It's AI. I mean, use your imagination. Oh, Lordy. You can tell what we're going to have fun with. See, I wasn't even thinking Jibo until I talked to you, Dr. Cynthia Brazil. And I appreciate Dr. Cynthia Brazil, founder and chief scientist of Jibo, Inc. Again, remind everybody, okay, we've got a hot special on Cyber Monday, huh?
Yes.
Okay. And where can they go to find more information and to get a Jibo, I guess at this point without an accent, but who cares about an accent? Look at all the benefits that you get, right?
Absolutely, yeah. So you could go to our website. Again, it's jibo.com. You can sign up for the newsletter. That's the best way to find out all the new stuff that's going on with Jibo.
Well, great stuff here. I'm looking forward to it. Dr. Cynthia Brazil, I'm Bill Martinez Live. Thank you so much.
I have to get to sleep.
Tom had a stressful day, and now he can't shut down at bedtime.
Need sleep.
To fall asleep fast, millions of people turn to Unisom sleep gels. They're non-habit forming and quickly help you sleep soundly so you wake recharged. Tom? Unisom sleep gels. A stressful day deserves a restful night. Use as directed. Active ingredient diphenhydramine hydrofluoride.
This report is brought to you by Takeda Pharmaceuticals USA and Lundbeck US. On October 10th, World Mental Health Day, people recognize the importance of mental health globally. This year's theme is mental health in the workplace. And for the millions living with major depressive disorder, commonly known as depression, getting through the workday can be a challenge. In a national Gallup survey, employees who reported having depression missed an estimated 8.7 workdays annually, while employees who did not have depression missed about half as many days. Dr. John Sajeka, professor of psychiatry and director of the Women's Board Depression Treatment and Research Center at Rush University Medical Center, has treated people with depression, including working moms, and knows how much it can affect their daily life.
Like all patients with depression, working moms should be sure to discuss all of their depression-related symptoms with their doctor. I have treated many working mothers. Depression symptoms can impact both their personal and professional lives. Open and ongoing communication with their doctor is key to finding an appropriate treatment plan.
While depression is often associated with feeling down or losing interest, depression can also impact one's ability to sleep, concentrate, and even cause one to move or speak slowly, which can impact everyday life, including at the workplace. People experiencing symptoms of depression should speak with a doctor about treatment options. To join an online community focused on sharing information about depression, visit Lighter Blue on Facebook.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Hi, I'm Marcia Miller from Mud Pie. Every new parent dreams of bringing their baby home for the first time. But some babies are born too sick or too soon to come home right away. That's why Mud Pie supports the life-saving research and programs of the March of Dimes, the leading nonprofit organization for pregnancy and baby health. Help us give every baby a fighting chance so that more babies can come home healthy. Learn how at marchofdimes.org.
Your emails direct. NSA free to Bill at BillMartinezLive.com.
Back with America, 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here. For more information on the show, BillMartinezLive.com. Drop me an email. We'd love to hear from you, good, bad, indifferent. Get involved in the conversation. You've got to engage the culture, and you're welcome to do it right here. Bill at BillMartinezLive.com. Trent Horn joins us now, an apologist at Catholic Answers. After college, Trent traveled the country training pro-life advocates on college campuses to engage opponents. There you get that word again, okay? We got to engage opponents in compassion and persuasive dialogue, and we're going to be talking about his book, The Case for Catholicism, which is now available in paperback. Trent, good to have you with us here on Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Hey, good to have you here to talk about The Case for Catholicism. 500 years after Martin Luther posted his 95 theses on the Wittenberg door, questions and misconceptions regarding his concerns about the Catholic Church still abound today. And we appreciate your commitment to pursue the truth on these issues because of, you know, we often say that in the absence of fact, opinion rules, and sometimes it's a willful absence of fact. We just decide that we don't want to do the hard work and really be educated and learn, but you've done a lot of the hard work for us, so thank you for doing that.
No problem. I'm very excited by this book, that The Case for Catholicism is really the most up-to-date, comprehensive defense of the Catholic Church against Protestant objections in print, at least in the past several decades. It's readable. But also, I tried very hard to research the other side, find Protestant scholars that support Catholic doctrines, and really put together what I think will be a definitive defense of the Church for years to come that will equip Catholics to have these conversations with their Protestant brothers and sisters.
Exactly. Well, and I like the way you've divided the book into four sections, with each answering a key question. You know, Christians have asked about the nature of their faith, and the questions are, what is my authority? What is the Church? How am I saved? And who belongs to the body of Christ? Four absolutely critical questions, whether you're talking to a Catholic or a Protestant, that they all ask.
Absolutely. And so how the book is lined up is that on the question of authority, that's the ultimate divider between Catholics and Protestants. Protestants believe in sola scriptura, that the Bible alone is their sole infallible rule of faith. Mm-hmm. And what I show in that chapter is that the Bible does not teach this. It actually teaches the reality of sacred tradition. And one of those traditions is the canon of Scripture, the infallible teaching that the Bible has a certain table of contents, and these are the inspired words of God in written form, something you know from tradition, and so authority can't be boiled down to the Bible alone. Then we move into what is the church. Protestants will say, yeah, the church is just all the invisible gathering of believers, so that's not what the Bible and the early Christians thought. The church was something Christ created that had the authority of the apostles carried through bishops and priests. How am I saved? Protestants will say, well, that's by faith alone. Once again, Bible doesn't teach that. Bible speaks about we are saved by baptism, justified by faith, but that also our justification increases through good works, and ultimately we are saved by grace through Christ, and the only way we can earn anything is earn our damnation. We could lose salvation by choosing mortal sin, which I talk about in the book as well. And then finally, who belongs to the body of Christ? Do we seek, is it just believers on earth, or do we seek the intercession of saints, and especially the intercession, pray for those in purgatory, and the intercession of our Blessed Mother, immaculately conceived and bodily assumed into heaven. So that's a quick overview of what the book teaches. I think it will help a lot of Catholics to explain their faith.
Well, let's go back to authority, okay? And this is what Protestants have a hard time with. And I think that they can accept in part the doctrine that when it comes to doctrine, that the Pope has the final say, right?
Well, the Pope has supreme jurisdiction over the church as the pastor of the entire church to establish things like ecclesial laws. But the Pope just doesn't make up things by fiat. He has the authority that Peter had to be the leader of the church. And so he confirms decisions by other bishops and ecumenical councils. He's the pastor of the whole church, and he does have a special charism that the church as a whole shares as well, the charism of infallibility, that the Pope, when speaking ex cathedra or in a binding, infallible way that defines a matter that's been divinely revealed that all Christians must believe, he is preserved from error. But that happened very infrequently in church history, really only twice. So the Pope has the final word when he speaks in that authoritative way, but otherwise the Pope, he could refrain from speaking, he could defer, or he might say something that's an error if he's speaking as a private theologian, for example. But my book clears up those misconceptions about the papacy to show that the Pope, the Bishop of Rome, has the same authority Peter had. And Peter would make mistakes in his personal life. Peter would sometimes be an impulsive guy. But ultimately, Jesus chose him to be the foundation of the church in a special way. And even non-Catholic scholars like J.N.D. Kelly admit that Peter was the leader of the early church. And that role of leadership and pastoral care is passed on to his successors in the form of the Pope.
Exactly. Now, in terms of what is the church, let's unwind that a little bit.
Sure, and that kind of segues a lot from your initial query about the Pope, that the church is not merely an informal union of believers. That is true. All Christians are, even if Protestant, Catholic, and Orthodox Christians, are united in an invisible bond of charity through Christ because we are all members of the body of Christ by virtue of our baptism. However, what the Catholic Church teaches is that the Church of Christ subsists, or it has a enduring historical reality in the Catholic Church, because the Catholic Church has maintained the deposit of faith, the reality that the descendants of the apostles, like the bishops, have apostolic authority, teachings on sacraments like baptism or the Eucharist, or about the communion of saints. So really, and if you look in Scripture, we don't see the apostles saying, just go read the Bible and you guys will figure out what church you want to belong to. We hear discussions about the church in Rome, the church in Corinth, and that there are people with authority. There are elders in the church, there are bishops, overseers, and in the first few centuries of the church, these offices were being figured out. But in St. Ignatius of Antioch, at the beginning of the second century, told his audiences, listen to the bishop, follow the bishop as you would Jesus Christ. And to me, that's a hierarchical church that you find in its fullness in the Catholic faith.
Well, I've never believed that Jesus went to the cross to set up denominations, but that's what we have today, which is problematic. And
in John 17, he says the opposite. He doesn't say, let them be many denominations. He says, Father, I pray, just as you and I are one, that they will be one.
And of course, this causes and has caused historically, all kinds of issues. And so even to the point of understanding, how am I saved?
That's right. And that's really the fruit of the Protestant Reformation, Luther and Calvin, espousing this theory of sola fide, by faith alone, we are saved simply by making an act of faith. But that's not what the Bible teaches. Because in the Bible, the phrase faith alone only appears once, and that is in the second chapter of the letter of James, which says that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. That through grace, we become children of God in baptism. We don't earn that either through faith or works. But when we become children of God, our good works increase our righteousness. The light of the Holy Spirit God gives us becomes more intense, that our good works, we shine forth God's grace to others. And that's clearly taught in Scripture, and that also bad works. There are things we can do that just because you have faith doesn't mean that you will be saved. James 2:19 says the demons have faith, and they tremble. Rather, if you persist in works of darkness and mortal, serious sins, then the gift of salvation, you can revoke that gift. Just because you freely receive something from God doesn't mean you can't freely throw it away either.
Well, Trent, part of the, I guess, pain and the conflict, you know, talking about Martin Luther, goes to the time and what was being demonstrated, you know, in the Catholic Church at that time, where the whole idea of works got aberrated. I think most people, most theologians would understand that, you know, faith is kind of like the software that comes into play, and the more true you are to your faith, then you're going to get the results, and the works will naturally flow from that. I don't think that you're individually measured by your works, but they are a byproduct of your faith, and you see that demonstrated historically. You know, the saints that have exercised, their faith and developed, a legacy of good works, to your point, just as the Bible, you know, clearly states. But because at that time when Martin Luther was around with, you know, the selling of indulgences and some of these other things, you know, the whole idea, you know, of working your way to heaven, you know, just got really perverted, didn't it?
Yes, and I would say that at the time of Martin Luther, there were abuses, and there were many Catholics who were saying that the preaching of indulgences, which are the remission of the temporal punishment for sin, distorted things. That giving money to the poor, for example, Jesus says, people who give alms, all things are clean for you. When the Gentile centurion Cornelius, when an angel appeared to him, he said that Cornelius' prayers and his alms, his gifts of money to the poor, rose up before God and found favor with God. Now, just merely giving money to think you have a ticket to heaven or something like that, that's erroneous. Mm-hmm. But there's always going to be mistakes in theology people have, and the church needs to always reform itself to grow closer to Christ and his truth. That does not give someone a warrant to simply jettison themselves from the church as a whole. Though I will say what the Bible teaches, that you mentioned about faith and works, it's correct. You don't do works to earn salvation. But a person could have faith in God and choose, though, not to put that faith into action. In fact, that was James's whole point. Someone can have faith in God and pray and wish someone well, but that's not going to feed or clothe them.
Exactly.
Necessarily.
Well,
so that's why in Romans chapter 2, yeah, Paul says we'll be judged by work that will be stored up in heaven for us. Romans 2:13 on that, and of course my book, which covers it in greater detail.
And that's what I was going to point everybody to, because sadly we're out of time. I appreciate the conversation, great insight here. Look forward to having you back, because I want to further this discussion. The Case for Catholicism, now in paperback, linked on our website at BillMartinezLive.com. Trent Horn, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Google has all but banned the movie series What Would Muhammad Do? It's a brilliant film on the true history and goals of Islam. This is the film Trump's enemies and holdouts from the Obama administration are terrified you will see. Pro-Islamic groups working with Google and other multi-billion dollar corporations have vowed to suppress the distribution of What Would Muhammad Do? When you see it, you'll understand why. Get your copy while you still can. Order the 4-DVD collection today for $39.95 plus shipping and handling. Or go online and download the entire movie series for just $19.95. But wait, for those who order in the next 30 minutes, we'll throw in a 9-part series on the Muslim Brotherhood absolutely free. Go to WWMDfilm.com or call 304-289-3700 now. That's WWMDfilm.com or call 304-289-3700 now.
If you or someone you care about loves